The gospel is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot give it up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord.
I remember when I was maybe about 14, there being a Christmas, and I was sitting with my family, and everyone was opening presents. It was my turn to open another one, and I came to a present from my grandmother, and she was a sweet lady, really wonderful, and it was kind of a skinny rectangular shape, and I don't remember exactly what I was into it when I was 14. I think I probably would have loved a paintball gun if anyone had let me have it, but, you know, rowdy kind of things. And anyways, here it was time to open the present, so I start unwrapping it, and I open it up, and I see a face kind of looking at me, and it's a Lion King calendar. And I remember thinking, you know, at 14, I was at this age where, like, I'm becoming an adult, I'm a big guy, I want to be treated, you know, with cool adult things, and I want, you know, people to see that I can handle things, and opening up and seeing that Lion King poster and just thinking, like, I don't want this. I want something cool. And luckily, I had enough sense that you don't say that to your grandmother. So I remember forcing a smile and saying, "Thank you, grandmother. This is a wonderful present." But that was the internal reaction, was, "Don't give me this. Give me something cool." You know, nowadays, I would love to receive a Lion King poster from my grandma. She's passed away since and was a wonderful lady. And I know that it was meant in love. But at the time, that blessing didn't feel like a blessing. Well, one of the things that Jesus wanted to get across during his ministry is that God actually wants to bless us because God loves us. I think we've been talking about this probably all the time, I hope. God is not our enemy. God is our friend. God is not primarily interested in hurting us. God wants to help us and build us up. And so today we come to a section of the gospel where Jesus is talking about prayer and he's talking about blessing. And in this section, Jesus does a few different things. First of all, this is one of the sections of the Gospels where we hear the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches his disciples and us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And we'll come back to this section later. And then he backs up a little bit, and he starts telling a parable. And this is a pretty simple parable. It's about a person who's in need of some food at night, and this person goes to one of the neighbors who has the ability to help and knocks on their door in the middle of the night and says, "I'm hungry, can you give me something?" And we hear in this parable that the neighbor doesn't really want to help. "No, go away, it's too late, I'm not going to help you." But the parable goes that this person is just so persistent and annoying, knocking on the door, that eventually the neighbor relents and says, fine, here's what you need. Now, this might seem like kind of a strange parable for God. You know, if it's supposed to be an analogy about God, we might misread it and think that Jesus is saying that God doesn't really want to help us, but if we bother him enough, God might be convinced. I don't think this is really the point. I think the point Jesus is making is that if even your selfish neighbor will help you, then surely this God who loves you will be more than happy to help you in times of need and bless you. And then after this parable, we get to a section in which faith and prayer start to sound like a really, really good deal. Jesus says this. He says, ask and it will be given to you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Well, if we stop reading right here, then we might start to get pretty excited for all the wrong things. Because in this section, it sounds like Jesus is pretty much offering us a blank check, right? If you pray with enough effort, God will pretty much give you anything you want in the universe. And what a wonderful version of God this would be for human beings, right? We all have things we want, and we could kind of picture God as a blessing bank full of everything we could ever desire, and all we need to do is pray with enough conviction, with enough persistence, with enough faith, and God will kind of open up like an ATM, and the bills will just start coming out, whatever we want. If you want more money, pray to God. If you want a bigger house or a car or a boat, just pray to God. If you want to be more celebrated, if you want to be better at your job, if you want to be more talented or beautiful or whatever it is you want, just pray to God fervently and with persistence. So this is kind of the blessing bank version of God. And I think there are at least three problems with picturing God in this way. The first problem is that this simply isn't true, right? Sometimes in life, you've probably experienced it already, you pray to God for things, and God does not help you in the way you hoped. And they might even be good things to pray for. They might not be these shallow things. You might be praying for the healing of a loved one or the mending of a relationship or peace or something like that, and yet it doesn't seem to happen for us. You pray for it fervently, and yet it doesn't happen. And at this point, we really start asking questions and feeling frustrated, and this leads to the second problem of picturing God as a blessing bank. And that's that believing in a blessing bank God can be deeply harmful to our emotional and spiritual life. I remember a few years ago, I was in seminary, and they sent us off on internship, and my wife and I were sent to Egypt, where we worked in this church. And in Cairo, there are, of course, lots of Egyptians, but there are also lots of refugees because it's a pretty nearby country to places like the Sudan. The Sudan has been a very violent place for the last few decades, and so there were thousands of Sudanese people in that country. And in our church, there were many Sudanese who worshipped with us. And I remember this kind of little guy from Sudan who was really wonderful, really nice guy. He always worshipped with us pretty much every week. And just a really nice guy and really devoted to his faith. Well, one day, I'm in the office. My colleague, the senior pastor, is in the office, and we get a knock on our door, and we open it, and here's this guy, and he says, hi, I want to talk to you about something. And he said, you know, I've met so many wonderful people with the ELCA. You have been sent by the ELCA, and I've met one of the leaders. I'll call him John Smith. John Smith, who's one of the mission directors of this area. I know about him. And he said, I was watching TV, and there was an American preacher on the TV. And this American preacher said that if you name it, if you tell God faithfully what it is you want, God will bless you with whatever you want, as long as you pray for it with enough faith. And he said, you know, I'm a poor man, and I've had a lot of illness, and I want to help people. And so I am praying that God gives me $10.5 million. And God has told me that the ELCA, and specifically this John Smith guy, is going to get me $10.5 million. And with this $10.5 million, I'm going to be able to have a life for myself, and I'm going to start a nonprofit to help my people. So let's pray for $10.5 million and give John Smith a ring and set it up. And so this is what he said, basically. And we just were like, oh, okay. And so we started to have this conversation, and we did pray with him, but we didn't pray that he would be given $10.5 million because we were pretty sure that wasn't going to happen. And he noticed this, and he said, wait, I need $10.5 million. The preacher said I would get it. Where's my $10.5 million? And we said, I'm sorry, that's like a large amount of the ELCA's whole mission budget. I don't think they're going to give you $10.5 million. And honestly, we don't think this is really what Jesus is promising. I don't think this preacher was being very honest with you. Well, anyways, to make a long story short, it was a very painful thing to him. You know, he was in tears. He was so upset because he had truly believed this message that if you pray for it faithfully, you will get it. And all we could do was kind of try to re-educate him and pray with him in other ways, but he was very disappointed, very hurt. And I want to emphasize that he wasn't a bad person. He wasn't stupid. He just had this picture of God that God is a blessing bank who gives you whatever you want as long as you believe it. And that leads to the third problem of believing in the blessing bank God. And that problem is that this sort of God misses the point of what Jesus is really trying to promise us. You know, reading this chapter, it's really easy to believe in the blessing bank God if we fail to read to the end of the chapter. But if we do, then we come to a line where Jesus asks rhetorically, is there anyone among you who, if a child asks for fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? The answer is obviously no. And therefore, says Jesus, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So again, what's he promising? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The conclusion of this whole section on prayer is that Jesus promises that God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. I'm not saying that God won't ever give you other things. God might bless you with other things as well, but God guarantees that those who ask for the Holy Spirit will receive the Holy Spirit. Well, this kind of takes us back to the story I shared at the beginning about getting a Lion King calendar when I was 14 for Christmas. My internal response, like I said, was, I don't want this. I want something good. Can I get something else? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, when we pray to God for things, this is kind of how we feel about the promise of something like the Holy Spirit. We're not against receiving the Holy Spirit, but we have a long list of things that we would much rather receive that are much higher on our immediate list of what we would like from God. And I think the reason for our ingratitude is we don't really understand what a wonderful promise this really is a lot of the times. We don't even oftentimes know what it means to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was growing up in California, we were kind of a middle-class family, but the house we moved into had a pool in the backyard, and that's not a rich thing. That's just 50 to 60% of homes in Southern California have a pool in the backyard. And it was so wonderful when I moved in, and I would jump outside and swim a lot. But the longer I was there, the less I remembered or cared that there was a pool in my backyard. And I lived there maybe 9 years before I went to college. And by the last few years, I could go over a year without ever using a pool. I think now in North Dakota, if you had the weather and a pool in your backyard, how much I would enjoy having a pool. And yet I would waste it for, you know, over a year at a time. A lot of times it's the blessings that are around us all the times that we come to overlook, that we just don't notice. You know, a job can seem like a real drag until you're unemployed and don't have enough to eat. Suddenly a job sounds pretty good. Kids can seem pretty exhausting, but God forbid we ever lost one of them. And your lunch might seem pretty boring and not that great until you don't have a lunch, and suddenly any lunch would sound pretty good. Well, it's just like this with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's loving presence in the world, and it's always there, but we often ignore it or push it to the back burner. We forget all that God has to offer to us because we have other priorities in life. But I think if we ever truly focused on receiving the Holy Spirit in our lives, this would look like something amazing. But what would it look like? I think what it would look like is it would be having our lives completely caught up in the love of God. It would look like God defining us in every area in our life by his love, in the way we think, in the way we live, in the way we understand things. We would be defined by God's love. To put it another way, as we think about the Lord's Prayer, if we really truly receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, we could pray the Lord's Prayer and actually mean the things we say in it. You know, I think a lot of times, at least for me, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I say the words, but I don't really mean the words that I'm saying. Let's go through it. Our Father in heaven. Imagine if we really experience God as our loving parent, as the closest, most trusting relationship in our world. That's not usually how we feel, honestly, right? I mean, God kind of seems distant, maybe. Imagine if we really trusted God as a small child trusts their parents. It goes on, hallowed be your name. Imagine if loving God's name was truly our deepest passion in life. Imagine how passionate we would be about our faith. Imagine how passionate we would be about sharing it and living it with other people. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. God's will be done. You know, to be honest, I think usually my prayer is not that God's will would be done. My prayer is that my will would be done. Give me what I want, God. But imagine if we really wanted God's will to be done even more than our own. How different would our lives be? How would we think about things and live in different ways? Give us each day our daily bread. Imagine if we were really satisfied with just having daily bread. Imagine if having enough was enough for us. Enough is not the motto of our culture. More, more, more is the motto of our culture, right? But if enough was enough for us, imagine how much we would be able to help other people. We'd have so much left over if enough was enough. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Imagine if we knew and trusted in God's forgiveness so deeply that our first response in the world to being hurt was to forgive people, was to reconcile. How many conflicts would be avoided in this world if we really lived out forgiveness? How much freer would we ourselves feel if we didn't hold on to grudges and bitterness? So today I'd like you to notice what a radical prayer the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus taught us. If we really meant it, it would change us and it would change the world around us. Well, you know, the truth is that we're never going to get our connection to the Holy Spirit perfect in this world. I know that. I'm not being unrealistic. But that doesn't mean that we can't grow in our relationship to God. In fact, Jesus promises that if we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, we will grow. That's a guarantee. Today's gospel says, if we really want to take the time to know Jesus, then we will meet Jesus. Jesus says, if we really want to take the time to connect with God through prayer and worship and the life of faith, then we will find a deepening connection with God. And so, in actuality, life in the Spirit is the greatest blessing that God can offer us, even if we don't always appreciate it. It's kind of like having a pool in your backyard that you forget exists and you kind of waste. The Holy Spirit is always there, inviting us into a better life. So come outside. Come outside with the Holy Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Jump in the pool because the water's great. Live in the Holy Spirit. Amen.